Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, this is your boy James, aka Hollywood J Black, live in the building once again. And you already know what time it is. It is the NFL Week 3 rundown, baby. But you know we don't do this alone. I can't do this show alone. I got my man, my main man, Big MF and Citizen in the building. How you doing today, sir?
I am doing good. It's been a hectic week, but everything is good. My phone is quiet right now, so I am good. While we're sitting here, he already did the week two rundown, so we ain't got to do that shit. But I do want to say this, though. Last week, we had a very good week that both of us did. You ready for these numbers?
Oh, yeah. Let me hear this.
I went 11-5. You went 12-4. So,
It's comeback season, baby. Comeback after an abysmal week one.
So
abysmal.
I am now 16-16 at 500 for the season.
You're the Miami Dolphins.
And Hollywood is now 20-12.
That's right. We're doing it big. Before we get into the NFL.
Doing it.
Before we get into the NFL, quick shout out to the SEC for their semi-mediocre brand of football yesterday. We had Auburn barely beating Kentucky at the last minute.
We had Oklahoma upset by Kansas State.
Yes, Oklahoma upset by Kansas State. We have LSU losing to Mississippi State.
It's all bad.
See, I tell everybody, I said, this is why these colleges need to play teams like Bougie State and Eastern Middle Western Tennessee Christian Academy. You know, there's a purpose behind it. So you get the little kinks out, you know what I'm saying, before the season's done. But yeah, it was all bad. We had a bunch of upsets yesterday. Shout out to UCF. I mean, not UCF. Shout out to the SEC. You did it, boys. You found a way to play 500 football.
You find a way to play Miami Dolphin football.
That's right.
Speaking of the Miami Dolphins, myself and Hollywood J. Black picked the Jacksonville Jaguars on Thursday night, and Ryan Fitzpatrick was like, fuck you both.
Yes. That one was – you could tell I was shocked. But the world was shocked in general because that really shouldn't have happened. Sometimes we forget that when you have a game like that with a bunch of mediocrity in it, that you have to pick the team with the best quarterback. Remember, I broke my own rule last time. I should have picked Ryan Fitzpatrick because while he is erratic, he is the experience alone. He's a better quarterback than Gardner Minshew just because of the experience. So I should have picked it. I fucked up. My bad. And
I fucked up too. But shit happens.
It happens. We live and we learn. Blue and green pill, baby.
And blue and yellow, purple pills. I take a couple uppers. I down a couple downers. Anyway, so moving on to week three, we have some interesting matchups this week. We have a couple of undefeated teams going at it. We have a surprise undefeated team because nobody expected them to do last week what they did. Taking on it's very weird to say this, a young, hungry, up-and-coming team that was very old last season. We have some games. So let's go ahead and talk about the first one. This first team I'm going to mention had probably the roughest first 2 weeks on their schedule.
Yeah.
Hi, we're going to start. Hi, we got to start off the season with the Chiefs and then the Ravens. Let's talk about the Houston Texans, the 0-2 Houston Texans at the 2-0 Pittsburgh Steelers.
And it's not like it, but remember though, when we did the NFL preview, we said that the Texans were going to lose their first two games. I said there's no way that they're going to beat the Chiefs and the Ravens in back-to-back weeks. It's just not going to happen. I said either they lose one or they lose both. It's just really how it goes. They weren't winning both at all. The Texans are in a weird spot. Thanks to Bill O'Brien, of course, because
let's trade our best wide receiver for a running back who hasn't done shit in 3 years.
That's right. It makes perfect sense. Perfect fucking sense. You know what's messed up?
That can of Pringles they got was amazing, okay?
Hey, David Johnson had one really good run in the first game.
Yeah, that was that 35-yard touchdown. And then jack shit the rest of it.
One really good one. Just had it. But you know what, though? Shout out to the Texans, because since Arian Foster, and they have royally failed when it comes to running backs. I mean, they have. Remember they got Ben Tate from the Patriots in a trade, and that didn't work out, even though Ben Tate put up hella numbers. Hella numbers. And trust me, when Bill Belichick is letting him walk away for like a sixth or seventh round draft pick, he's not scamming you, folks. He is scamming you. Excuse me. He's trying to tell you this is about as much as he's worth to us. It's a warning shot. But the Texans cannot find decent running game ever since Arian Foster. Even then, that's shaky because Arian Foster was only a good as long as he was healthy.
Yeah, and he wasn't healthy often. No. This Pittsburgh team, their defense is not playing as well as people thought it was. Last week, they should have lost, but Drew Lock got hurt, broke his collarbone. Micah Fitzpatrick is not playing well, and his coach called him out. And he's now mad at his coach. So,
listen, is his coach wrong?
No, because don't forget, Michael Fitzpatrick did this in Miami. Oh, you don't respect me? I want out of here. Me. You know what I'm saying?
Sorry. Let me tell you something. My man Mike Tomlin is not no soft ass punk ass coach.
And neither is Kenny Flores, who he played for previously.
Yeah. Well, remember though, Minka was in there before Flores was there this first year. Who was the coach? Oh, what's his name? Gase?
Yeah, Adam Gase.
Yeah, he played for Gase the first couple years, who was a soft ass punk ass coach, as you're seeing in the Jets.
My man's about to get fired.
And then Flores ain't no punk ass coach. He'd be like, "Fuck you! I'll just trade you. I'm gonna fuck you. Kiss my ass, nigga." He played. Didn't he play for for like all of 3 weeks before he started bitching, moaning, complaining, and then got traded?
Yeah, because remember last season, everybody thought the Dolphins were gonna go on tank mode and go 0-16, even though they won 7 games.
Yeah,
because Ryan Fitzpatrick's like, "No, I want to win and fuck up our playoff and fuck up our draft spots."
Well, hey, listen, okay. Poor Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, that dude has been saddled with some bullshit. And he has.
I respect Ryan Fitzpatrick. And it's hard. I don't often say that about people like him who played for Buffalo and, you know, all the teams I dislike. He played for them all.
Yeah.
But I respect the man's game. He's an older quarterback who is not afraid.
No, could you imagine Ryan Fitzpatrick on a Patriots squad like the early 2000s Patriots squad? You know what I'm saying? That nigga would not only have rings, he'd have a little bit of playing time and garbage time. You know, like he'd be good. You know, he'd be straight. He'd have three rings and be good. You know, but I digress. My problem with Mika is he's barking up the wrong tree with Mike Tomlin, because Mike Tomlin's gonna play that shit. Mike Tomlin made Duck Hodges serviceable. You are expendable, motherfucker. Okay, all right. Mike Tomlin
tried to kill a kickoff returner by tripping him at full speed, and then sidelined year after.
How many? Let me look in this book. I give. How many fucks does Mike Tomlin give? Zero. There you go. He will bench you.
You want to know what else? You want to know what else is fucked up?
What?
So you know how I was trying to get Survivor Series opposed day one and day two?
Yeah.
The file was so big. It's like, nah, we just got both post on Sunday. Fuck y'all.
Oh. We got a grand
pay per view. Night one came out this morning. Night two comes out later today.
We got a big ass pay per view. That's what it is. Oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
Oh, that's after editing.
That's what I'm saying. Now, they're like, no, we're just going to come up with a big ass pay per view. Like, no. So, all right. So, do you trust the Steelers defense? I trust Ben Roethlisberger to a point. I trust James Conner to a point. I don't trust Juju. I trust the other receiver that's been balling his ass off. I think Johnson. Conner's playing because he played last week. Yeah, because he played last week. Everybody thought he was going to be out for a few weeks. He ended up playing last week and balling the fuck out.
Gotcha.
So do you trust James Conner? Do you trust James Conner in this situation? That's the question that we got to ask ourselves.
I trust that the Houston Texans are going to go 0-3.
Hey, I said the Steelers were looking mighty playoffish this year. With Roethlisberger back, they're a way better team with Roethlisberger there. Book me for the Steelers in this one.
All right.
I don't see. I think this is the year Bill O'Brien gets fired.
For Deshaun Watson's safety, Bill O'Brien needs to go.
Yes. Yes. How are you going to trade your receiver and not draft a good one in the draft? Fuck that, man.
All right. Next up, we have a battle of two 0-2 teams whose quarterbacks are getting destroyed. The quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals now looks like Macaulay Culkin at age now. And Carson Wentz has just been getting rocked these first 2 weeks. We got the Cincinnati Bengals at the Philadelphia Eagles. Someone has to win or they tie.
No one has to win. Remember, there's ties. This isn't college. Which is interesting because college used to have ties and it used to be much, much better back then. But anyway, I digress. Imagine playing four quarters of football, overtime. What the fuck is that? There's overtime? What is this? No, the game's gone. We're done. What do you mean we tied with Bougie State University?
Hold on. The clock says zero.
Like, wait a minute. What do you mean we didn't beat Bougie State? What do you mean we tied with Bougie State? What does this mean? What do you mean we dropped ranks? Huh?
So,
what do you mean we're not making it to the national championship? Oh, sorry about that.
This game is basically Bougie State versus Bougie State. This is going to be one of the hardest games to pick accurately due to the fact that Joe Burrow has looked fantastic at times, but has also looked like fucking Baker Mayfield at times. And has also looked like, what's that dude's name who was before Baker Mayfield?
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about Johnny Manziel?
Yeah, he looks like Johnny Manziel in the CFL at times.
That's because he is under extreme duress. Remember, when you are a member of the Cincinnati Bengals, no matter what you do, you are under extreme duress, okay? It doesn't matter who, what you could be the bench player, you could be number 53 on the roster, okay? You're under extreme duress. And this week is no different. This week is no different, my friend. We have Carson Wentz, though, who I feel bad for this man. I do.
I don't. I really don't.
I do, because this man's made of glass and he's just been taking shot after shot. I'm just waiting for him to just shatter completely into a million pieces.
My man is Samuel L. Jackson from fucking Unbreakable.
Mr. Glass. That's what I'm waiting for at this point. That's the only thing that I'm anticipating. And it sucks because I respect the Eagles as an organization.
I don't.
Hey, I know you don't. Okay. I respect them for what they do. I'm just waiting. I'm like this. You know how Stone Cold used to tap the watch, listen for what time it is? That's what I'm doing, waiting for Jalen Hurts to come in. That's all I'm doing right now at this point, because that's what's coming. If Carson Wentz keeps dying, and I think the O-line is setting him up so he dies, if you really wanted to ask me, I think this is a complete setup. I think this is a travesty that somebody needs to do an internal investigation, because somebody's trying to murder Carson Wentz. Okay, that's what's going down. Meanwhile, in Cincinnati, there's only one place to go but up. Joe Burrow has improved game into the next game. And now we've come to a point where the Eagles look extremely vulnerable. And Joe Burrow just might play well enough to win this game, because the Eagles are vulnerable. The Eagles' defense has been okay. It hasn't been great, but it ain't been bad. It's been okay.
Brian Cox, who is their best player, is playing like their best player. So
Yeah. But Joe Burrow's playing like a man on fire. But what's been surprising is that A.J. Green has not.
He's coming off of that bad injury last year. With no practice, no preseason. Him and Joe Burrow have no chemistry. Zero. None. Absolute zero.
But it makes me feel like A.J. Green doesn't want chemistry. A.J. Green loves Andy Dalton. I'm just going to come out and say it and tell you like it is. Because the reports, when Andy Dalton got let go, A.J. Green was heartbroken.
A.J. Green wanted to go to the Patriots. He was like, I'm leaving.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he wanted to go to the Patriots since last year. I mean, the Patriots offered – the first time I've seen the Patriots offer anything higher than a third rounder was for A.J. Green and Tyler Eifert. And like, Tyler Eifert was injured.
We'll give you a second rounder and a third rounder, but you got to give us two offers, okay?
I mean, Tyler Eifert's not there anymore. A.J. Green's not looking like himself. The Bengals have nothing to show for it.
Yeah, who won? They should have made the trade.
They should have, because they would have had at least some extra picks to try and build their squad.
It's a very hard game to pick, because neither team has looked in really at all good in either game they played.
Yes, in conventional wisdom, and based off of the of our NFL preview show, this is the Eagles' game to lose, essentially. But we discussed this, five weeks ago. We're past that now. We are past conventional wisdom. We did say that Joe Burrow was going to light it up, but the Bengals were too sorry. The Bengals are actually coming together and looking like a 6-10, 7-9 team.
Yeah, Joe Mixon needs to step up here, because the Eagles' running defense is not good. So,
yeah.
You might have a big game from Mr. Mixon.
So I'm going to go with conventional wisdom. I'm going to play on the air on the side of caution. I'm going to say that the Eagles are going to win this game simply because of the experience factor. If Doug Peterson loses to a rookie quarterback after successfully beating Tom Brady a few times, then I don't want to hear shit about Doug Peterson being a decent coach. I don't want to hear shit. How are you going to lose to a second-year coach and a rookie quarterback in a running game that's non-existent? Because it's been non-existent for the last 2 weeks. You can't write this shit up. I'm going to go with the Eagles, but if they lose, expect some major changes immediately.
I'm going to go with the youth movement over in Cincinnati. I think Joe Mixon has a big game. I think Joe Burrow, he's already had big games, is going to keep on doing what he's doing. I think we're going to see a lot of A.J. Green in this, because the Eagles really don't have a corner that can match up with him. If A.J. Green decides to play, show up today. So I'm going with the Bengals in the hopes that A.J. shows up and that Joe Mixon gets his first NFL victory. So next up, we have This game, after last week, and they're playing on the same field that many a casualties happened against the Jets. The San Francisco 49ers did not leave New York. They got to play at MetLife once again. Last week, they saw basically half of their starting roster go down with fucking ACL tears and leg injuries because that concrete-ass fucking field they have at MetLife, the NFL needs to investigate because if you looked on the Nick Bosa, the Nick Bosa injury, his toes never came out of the turf. His foot was stuck when he got fucking pushed back. His toes were like this in the turf, and his leg was like this.
Ooh,
that's why Nick Bosa tore his ACL. I'm not a 49ers fan. My man's right there, the 49ers fan. My homie John's a 49ers fan. I am going to say this right now because the Patriots play in MetLife later this year. Mm-hmm. The NFL needs to investigate this field because it is not safe.
I know. And people are like, oh, it only happened with the Jets. I'm like, y'all remember the Patriots didn't have, I mean, not the Patriots, the Broncos, not the Broncos, the Steelers didn't have such a good game when they played
the Giants.
The Giants. Remember, James Conner got hurt 4 carries in.
His leg. Yeah. That's the one constant. Legs. Saquon Barkley. All these motherfuckers. It's their leg.
Yeah. Saquon Barkley came out. He didn't even run for more. He ran for 9 yards. On a home turf, 6 carries, 9 yards, couldn't get his footing under him. And it's not because the Steelers' defense was bad because the Steelers gave up the goals last week in the fucking run game against the Broncos. So it had nothing to do with the Steelers' defense. It was the fact that you could watch the Saquon Barkley run all 6 runs. Saquon couldn't get his footing under him. Nope. You know, so now we're basically the San Francisco infirmary going against the New York Giants, who they're battling their own injury issues, and now they don't have a running back.
Well, they signed Devontae Freeman, but Kyle Shanahan knows all about Devontae Freeman. So
yes, well, yeah, and they learned a lot about this fucking field. So now, ain't nobody going to be running shit. I don't even know if anybody's going to be passing shit in this game, to be dead honest. They're just going to have to be careful. The Giants still are not a great team. They're not a great team offensively. They're mediocre. They're average to above average, depending on who they play defensively. Like, they held back Pittsburgh for a little bit, but last week's game was just like, no, they just didn't do what they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
And I think it's more the same. Kyle Shanahan's going to have a game plan. Shanahan's a smart man. He's a cerebral coach. He knows how this field is. So he probably has a counter effect of counter plays to deal with how this field is. So expect Shanahan to move past this field and get the fuck out of New York.
Well, you see, today they're without Kittle's not playing, which is a smart decision. Kittle, because mm-hmm. his leg, he does not need to be on that field. Garoppolo does not need to be on that field. Mostert does not need to be on that field. Nick Mullins is starting. But I believe, and I'm going to make the pick now, I believe the 49ers defense, even though they're missing some key players like Nick Bosa and who was the other dude that got hurt?
Solomon Thomas.
Solomon Thomas. These are big-time fucking defensive players.
Yeah.
Richard Sherman's out for the season. Is he out for the season?
No, he's out for 4 to 6 weeks. Same time frame as everybody else. Everybody else is out for 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, because this season, with what's going on with COVID, you can take people off the IR faster than you could any other time. So,
yeah.
That also frees up a roster space. I'm going with the 49ers here due to the fact they are a better coach team. I say that with knowing the fact that the Giants head coach was the quarterback's coach for the Patriots, but he's going to need some more time with his players, Danny Dimes and them. Due to the fact that there was no practice, was no preseason. So I am going with the 49ers because they're a better team.
Well, you already know I'm going with the 49ers on this one. I think it's kind of like with the defense, it's kind of like the Belichick situation. Sometimes the scheme outweighs the players. If you plug the right people in, if you got the right built players and put them in the right spots, just like you did with the players that you currently have, you can go you may not be great, but you're going to be good still. You know what I'm saying? It may be some downside a little bit, but those players are still going to perform the way that you want them to perform. That's one thing I've liked about the Niners defense. Niners defense was good before Bosa got there. They just become extremely great with Bosa.
Yeah, because Bosa takes up like 2 to 3 people every fucking play.
Yeah, exactly. and they'll just make it work. And I think that's what it comes down to. The Giants is going to be a long day for the Giants. I think the Niners got this one fairly easily.
Yeah, Tevin Coleman and Jarrett McKinnon are going to have a big day rushing the ball as long as they stay. And I think the X factor in this game too, because he showed up last week against the Jets, is Jordan Reed. He actually showed out last week. So I told John this, when Jordan Reed is healthy, he is a top 10 tight end in the NFL.
Well, remember, so it's funny that the 49ers have two Redskin players that had injury problems and now are making the most of it, Trent Williams and Jordan Reed. So we'll see how it goes.
We're both going with the 49ers on this one. Next up, we have a team that pulled out an improbable victory, opening up their very new home here in Las Vegas. We have the Las Vegas Raiders taking on the young. And like I said, it's weird saying this. The young, up-and-coming New England Patriots.
You know what's funny is that during the NFL preview, I said that the Raiders may open up the dome with a win. I didn't say it was guaranteed.
Let's preface this with the Saints played like shit on Monday night.
So no Michael Thomas. And the fact that here's something that I found out. You know that Drew Brees is significantly worse on the road than he is at home?
Yeah.
Like significantly. Not like
because if you look at the stats, the Saints running backs on the road when they travel have put up much better numbers and they have higher run counts because Drew Brees is not throwing the ball on the road.
Exactly. And now we factor in they're playing in a new stadium. They've never been in the stadium. They don't have the feel of the field. They haven't had time to do passes and all that stuff.
Yep.
The Saints have problems, and they got exposed against the Raiders. The Raiders came ready to play, and apparently the Saints didn't. But now, it doesn't matter because they're on the road, right?
It's in New England, so.
Gillette, Foxborough, whatever name that you want to slap on it, is still one of the toughest places to play in the NFL. I don't care how many fans are in there, not in there, et cetera, et cetera. It could be zero fans. It could be a million fans in there. It could pack it like a college stadium or use it as the Chargers fans can show up, which is like 6 of them. Doesn't matter.
You know what cracks me up about this?
What?
Cam Newton is already in the top 4 for the MVP this season.
Oh, yeah, very easily. Dude, last week's game against the Seahawks was an absolute fucking classic. That was vintage Russell Wilson and vintage Cam Newton. Like, that was like.
And Julian Edelman playing for James White.
It was 2014 all over again. You know what I'm saying? That's how beautiful it was. The difference is that the defenses didn't show up. It was all offense. And that was kind of like, you know, that was my only thing, but I loved
the title. All gas, no
brakes. All gas, no brakes.
that game last week. It's probably going to go down as probably one of the top games of 2020.
Hey, I'm here for it. Listen, it is crazy that it ended on a short field, which sucks. I wish they had time to. They should have called a fake dive into a rollout because they expected Cam to go to the side that he did. They scouted that play very well.
They got burned by it 3 times in the game, so.
They should have switched it up a little bit. See, that's sometimes when you out-coach yourself. So you got to see Shanahan would have called a rollout. Would have had, everybody's going this way, but Cam's going to the right. Touchdown.
Yeah, there was literally nobody over there.
Yeah, no one. But it happens. You live and you learn.
Like I said, I'm not mad at that loss. That was what you call a good loss. It showed the world what the Patriots are going to be this year.
It's a learning loss. You live and you learn. You move on. You know what you can and can't do. And then you take that into the next game and build on it. The Raiders don't have a good defense. They are the definition of what you just saw above, all gas, no brakes. That is the Raiders. So this is going to be a shootout.
The Raiders' offense has been fluky. I'm going to say it right now. The Raiders' offense is not that good either. They have played two teams with a team that doesn't play defense well on the road. And week one, they didn't play anybody. You know
what I'm saying? Yeah, true. True. So, if I'm picking it right now, because I like Cam. I've actually been inspired by Derek Carr's play. But you know who my second favorite player in this game is? Josh Jacobs. That dude is a fucking monster.
Yeah.
With all that said, this is Foxborough, toughest place to play. This is gonna be a shootout, but I think the Patriots are gonna pull away towards the end. I think they're gonna probably win by 10 or more points. If you can book a room with me, I'm calling the Patriots in this one.
Julian Edelman, not only last week, Julian Edelman had this career high receiving yards. I was like, he caught 20 balls in a game one time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I told you about the metrics of that pass that he missed in the end zone. Cam Newton threw that ball 75 miles per hour. Julian Edelman was 0.004 seconds late on closing his hands on it.
Did you imagine? That would have been the game changer right there. Man, but, you
know. That would have been the game-winning touchdown.
Yeah. But it's cool, though. I mean, it is what it is. We live. I liked it, though. That was a good-ass pass. If you're going to throw a pass, at least be 0.004 seconds off.
Cam Newton is showing that he is doing what he said he was going to do. Prove the other 14 teams that did not fucking call him made a mistake. Mm-hmm. And now, based on his play, rumors going around the NFL is the Patriots are ready to give him a $40 million raise in a three-year extension.
Yeah, which they got an MVP for nothing. Imagine being one of 14 teams. Imagine being one of 14 teams that need a quarterback that those quarterbacks are injured, out, or trash.
Right? You need a quarterback one.
Uh-huh. And now the Patriots came in and swooped up a MVP for the NFL minimum.
Well, I texted you this. The best part about Cam Newton's contract is the fact that if he gets all his incentives, he gets to dress the New England Patriots coaching staff.
Oh, just imagine he gets them to the playoff, gets all the incentives. Oh, yeah.
Bill Belichick gonna be walking around all flied out, dog.
Remember, I told you. I said if Cam Newton starts the season, the Patriots are a playoff team and possibly a Super Bowl team, given where they are. It's come to fruition. They're looking great. So I'm taking the Patriots in this one easily.
Yeah, no James White. But the stadium will be inspired. I'm pretty sure they're gonna have his number flashing as inspiration to the team, because he has been one of our best players since he came into the league. Mm-hmm. I'm going with the Patriots here. I think they are too good to lose to the Raiders, and I just don't trust the Raiders right now. They're averaging 30-plus points a game, but that's not going to last, especially against a defense like New England.
Yeah, Derek Carr is no Russell Wilson. There's nobody named DK Metcalf on their team, so they ain't gonna worry about that.
There's no Donkey Kong on the fucking Raiders.
There's no Hollister. See, that's a dude. Chris Collinsworth goes. Now here's a guy. Jacob Hollister is a perfect. If I'm New England, Jacob Hollister's contract runs out next year. Well, at the end of this year, I'm like, hey. Come to New England. We like right now.
You want to know what the sad part about that is?
What?
The Patriots drafted him. Remember, they drafted the Hollister twins. Then they cut them both. You got to remember, 5 years ago, that draft, they drafted both of them.
That is insane. Wow. And okay.
Tom Brady did not like them. That's why they got cut.
Tom?
Because we had Gronk. We had, you know what I'm saying? We had Edelman. We had fucking Chris Hogan. We had this squad already of vets. And, yeah, that's why they got cut from the Patriots.
Okay. Well, thanks to Tom Brady, he ruined 5 years of progress. I'm just playing. Just fuck up. My bad. Sorry. My bad. My bad.
You know
my
they. Bad. But the funny part is, you know they always come back. So
I know.
So we're both picking the Patriots. We're both picking the Patriots in this game. Next up, we have a 2-0 team taking on a surprise 0-2 team. We have the Tennessee Titans at the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, yeah. This is – oh, my Lord. The Tennessee Titans have met and even in some cases exceeded expectations. The Minnesota Vikings, on the other hand, they should have been 2-0. We called 2-0 when we looked at the schedule.
Yeah.
What the actual fuck happened?
Neither one of us thought that Stephon Diggs meant as much to this offense as he means to this as he meant to this offense. Kirk Cousins is turning the ball over at an extremely high rate. Dalvin Cook is running like he's got some fat pockets. Oh yeah, because he did, because he got paid before the season. Fucking Adam Thielen has been nothing. Since the season started. Is Adam Thielen last year's Juju Smith-Schuster?
Oh, my God. Are we saying that, oh, boy, is as important, Stephon Diggs is as important as Antonio Brown? Is that what we're – is that the claim that we're making now?
If we look at what the Bills are doing, yes.
Well, then, let me see. Let's check out some Minnesota Vikings stats. So, Vikings stats.
Yeah, they do not look good. Their defense looks soft, which was a high point to their team the last couple years. They are not playing good football.
Yeah, so Kirk Cousins, 58.8 completion percentage. He has thrown 2 touchdowns and 4 interceptions in the first 2 games. Dalvin Cook only has 26 carries for 113 yards in 2 games.
So everything I said is true.
Let me see. What the fuck? Adam Thielen, 9 catches for 141 yards in 2 games.
When last year at this point, he had 32 catches, 4 touchdowns, and 365 yards receiving.
Yeah, his whole stat line got cut in half. Kyle Rudolph hasn't even been involved. He's only had 2 catches. Remember how big Kyle Rudolph was in the first last year?
He made that catch in the fucking against the Saints in the playoffs last year, which took the fucking Vikings to the next round.
Yeah. They even have Irv Smith. I didn't even realize they had Irv Smith Jr. on their team. And he's what the fuck? Somebody's gonna get fired soon. Oh shit. See, this shit's so bad to drop my damn phone.
But no, I mean, I'm watching this Vikings team, and I'm like, what the fuck are you? You are not the team that was there last season.
No, I can't wait. I can't wait till we do our what is it? You know, our reboot show in the middle of the season and discuss all this bullshit that's been going on. But the Vikings have been nothing.
We did preface our thing with, this is going to be the hardest season to predict due to the fact that there is no preseason and very little practice.
This is, man, you gotta be, if you're the Vikings fan, you gotta be kicking yourself. The hero of Minnesota, you didn't want to pay that man, so he wanted out. And he got out, and now you're a worse team because of it.
And the Bills are playing like a team on fire.
The Bills are the number one team in the division in the AFC East, sadly.
Oh, that's just because the Patriots lost that game to the fucking Seahawks. So
I know, but still, that's the whole world. But I'm just like, how? Why, how did you let this happen? So now the Vikings are going to go against the Tennessee Buzzsaw.
Derrick Henry, who also got paid, but is actually running, he took the money out of his pockets and is running the ball. That's what he said.
Tannehill got his extension. Yep.
And he's playing. Tannehill That's a guy in, if you go back a couple years, I have trashed Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, we both trashed. We have a whole segment. Things we trust more than Ryan Tannehill. Yeah,
he took over for the things we trust more than Jay Cutler.
Yeah. Yep.
And yes, if anybody's watching now who's new to our show, if you want to go back in the past, I had like a 10-minute things I trust more than Jay Cutler thing.
All right. So I expect nothing short of Tennessee beating the fuck out of Minnesota. That's just kind of just what I'm at this point. I'm booking it. Because I don't see any other scenario. They're going against a Tennessee defense that's top five. Top fucking five.
And Jadeveon Clowney is getting his wheels under him now. So the Titans are going to be a problem late season.
They are a problem, and they're going to continue to be a problem. Oh, my fucking God.
I mean, AJ Brown is out this week, so that'll take away from their passing game. But Derrick Henry's going to run through this defense.
Yeah, but have you seen the Corey Davis stat line? Yep.
Corey Davis, come on. He's balling out for a contract. That's what he's doing.
Corey Davis. Everybody gave up on Corey Davis, dude. Everyone. And Tennessee, put faith in him last year, and he's came to play. They're basically seeing if he's going to do it again. Yep. And if so, pay that man. Pay that man every red cent. Because so
we both got the Titans in this one. The Titans are looking heads and shoulders above the rest of their division mates, with the Houston Texans following them by the sideline. The Colts still not knowing who they are because of Phillip Rivers. So the AFC South looks like it's going to be Tennessee dominance.
Yeah, pretty much.
Next up, we have a matchup of 1-1 teams. One is a surprising 1-1. The other one only beats trash teams. We have the Washington football team at the Cleveland Browns. Now, my segues in the games, they're all accurate. You know what I'm saying? Which is why you like me hosting the show.
Listen, we got a motherfucking problem. We got some problems. We got a lot of problems. Washington has no identity, except their defense is really good.
Literally and figuratively. The football team.
The football team. And now they're playing another 1-1 team.
Well, they have Chase Young, who is the bright spot of that defense.
Honestly, I don't think the Browns will know what they're getting themselves into with this game. We don't know. This is a nameless football team, so nobody knows what they're ever getting into dealing with Washington because they're nameless. But that's just, I digress. But in all honesty, this is the game I can't call. This is a rough one. Just because I don't know what Browns team's going to show up. Is it going to be the offensive juggernaut?
I think in this game, it has to be the Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt show.
Yeah. Although Kareem Hunt was nowhere to be found last week. No, the week before. So Kareem Hunt was nowhere to be found.
Week one was rough for both of them, but they were playing the Ravens. That's why. Last week against the Bengals, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt went the fuck off.
Yeah. Very true. Very true. The problem is that the Browns vaunted defense made Joe Burrow look like the greatest All-Pro of all time last week, but also
made him look like shit. Joe Burrow was every other drive was good and bad.
And I'm afraid that if Hoskins gets confidence and his feet under him, that he might just have a decent game. That's the only thing I'm afraid of. Because Haskins, when he has confidence and he knows that he's connecting, he's a halfway decent quarterback.
No, Dwayne Haskins.
He's still learning.
He is. And I think right now he's looking in the rearview mirror. due to the fact that Alex Smith can play football.
Yeah. It's just the Browns' line, even with Myles Garrett, has not met expectations. We thought they were they actually took a step back this year.
Yeah, Myles Garrett needs to get back to being mean asshole Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
Not the one that tried to put Kyle Rudolph's helmet back on his head, but the one that sacks the quarterback over and over again.
Well, no, I would rather the dude that wants to beat you up with a helmet. That's the kind of aggression. That's the kind of ruthless aggression you need. Ruthless aggression. But all jokes aside, this is going to be a long day for both teams. Like a long, long day. Or maybe a short one, depending on how the time clock goes. So it's going to be a long, short day. It's going to be a lot of running.
A long, short day. Yeah.
A long, short day. A lot of pain, a lot of hits. Chase Young trying to come kill everyone.
This is going to be a 2020 football game. That's what's going to
If that, maybe fucking like 6-9.
No, I'm talking about the year 2020. It's just going to implode. It's just going to implode on itself. I am going to go with the Cleveland Browns due to the fact that they're at home. And in my opinion, you said it a lot last year. Who has the better quarterback? I'm going to have to go with the Browns.
Yeah. When you're doing this, you have to kind of go with the Browns because you got to go with again who has the best quarterback. But if Dwayne Haskins pulls off this game, don't be surprised. But I like the Browns in this one. But yeah, Rivera's going to have something.
I like the Browns running game over the Washington defense today.
Yeah, but
so next up we have a battle of undefeateds. What is a surprise? One, we kind of knew it was going to happen. We have the LA Rams at the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, the Buffalo Bills, we said that were really good. We said that they're, they're potential division champions depending on what happens this year with New England. But the Rams coming back from the depths of whatever depths that they came back from have been really impressive.
Yeah, because they got rid of a lot of talent, but this talent they have on their team now is like, hey, we want to get paid too.
True. Sometimes it takes – sometimes you got to get rid of the garbage to find out what kind of jewels you truly have. That's kind of what has been the case here. Cooper Kupp is still doing okay. He ain't been great. When I look at the Rams and I look at their stats – it's not – they haven't been, like, overly impressive, though.
No, Jared Goff has been making safe throws. It seems to me that he is finally – what's this? His fourth year in Sean McVay's system or third?
Let me see. This is fourth. Third year in McVay's system.
And this is usually the time where the quarterbacks start to work good with their offense. Derek Carr. This is his third year with John Gruden. It's starting to click. Jared Goff, this is his third year with McVay. It's starting to click. So the Rams have been playing good, but the Buffalo Bills have been playing fantastic.
Yeah. So kind of to kind of break this down. So Jared Goff has three touchdowns, one interception on the season. He has 542 yards passing, 69% completion percentage. The running game hasn't really been doing okay. I think Malcolm Brown is their running back. Yeah. 29 carries, 126 yards from the receiving end. Oh, what the fuck? Why'd you go throw an advertisement in my shit? Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, they've kept it really simple. They've been trying to get Tyler Higbee into the fold, and that's been coming along slowly but surely. Van Jefferson, there's a dude that – they've been trying to come on slowly. But Higbee has been that dude. He has three touchdowns. He has all three touchdowns receiving for the freaking thing. Higbee has been the man.
Yeah, like I said, McVay has simplified his offense.
Yeah, yeah. Which you're going to have to because I think what's the best way for me to say this? So the year that they played New England in the Super Bowl, and the Super Bowl, and New England just completely they knew everything that was coming. Okay, this is not different. That's what happens when you get overly creative. When you have 18 games of blueprint for an entire season on how creative you are with your offense. Now we know your whole book. And, Sean McVay opened a whole entire playbook for 18 games.
And Bill Belichick did that. Yes.
Yeah. And he figured everything. So by the time next season came, the whole league knows exactly what you're doing, right? What does he say? The whole neighborhood knows you, and they'll explode you. Yeah. So that's what happened. And then that last year was just that. The whole neighborhood knew him, and they got exposed. So coming in this season, you're going to have to come with something new, something simpler, something different, something that you can add a bunch of variables to, but still simple enough to where everybody can get on board. And that's exactly what's happened. Then that's what's attributed to the rise of Tyler Higbee. And I'm liking it so far. I have no complaints on it. At the same time, though, the defense has been led by Jalen Ramsey, but that's about it.
Yeah. Aaron Donald is being triple teamed on the line, and nobody else is getting to the quarterback.
Yeah.
But they're, like I said, they're playing a team in the Buffalo Bills that look like they're ready to go to the next level.
Yeah. Josh Allen is number two or number three quarterback in the NFL this year right now. Yep. I think Michael Vick, baby. And so we're at a good point. The Bills are looking real good. I don't see the Rams slowing them down in any bit, because the Rams have struggled with teams that have a decent run game, and Josh Allen is the run game. So
the thing with the Bills this season is, and I've watched both of their games, is the fact that we've talked about this in the past. We couldn't trust Josh Allen until he could trust his own arm.
Yeah.
And now he trusts his arm. He is letting that fucking ball fly.
Yeah. Well, shit, now that you have a receiver that you know will find a way to get to the ball, that's the big difference. Before, you didn't really have anybody that you'd be like, you know what? I know this man's going to get to this ball one way or the other. Diggs will get to that damn football. He'll find a way. Shit. And that's exactly what's happened. He'll get to that damn football.
Yeah, I'm picking the Buffalo Bills here. I don't think the Rams are good. I don't think they're good enough. But I think Buffalo goes up 3-0 and win their season.
I think so, too. I think a lot of people underestimate Buffalo's defense. That's the other side of
this. I don't know how. It was the number two ranked defense in the NFL last year.
I know, but they still this year they've underestimated them. I don't know how, but that's another thing, too. When you have a run, what do they say in the NFL? If you run the ball and play good defense, you can win yourself a championship.
Yep.
That's it.
Next up, we have a surprise 2-0 team taking on a team that has blown leads in their first two games. We have the Mitchell Trubisky-led Chicago Bears taking on a team that let an onside kick just spin for 2 minutes last week, the Atlanta Falcons.
It was just spinning.
So you're the receiving team. You do not need the ball to go 10 yards before you touch it. The kicking team does.
when I saw this, and I'm just like, really? Really?
That shit looked like a Beyblade. That shit was spinning like a Beyblade.
It was spinning. Lord, baby Jesus.
Okay, so the Atlanta Falcons under Dan Quinn,
yeah,
have now given up a 29-3 lead in the Super Bowl, a 30-point lead against Dallas, a 14-point lead in Week One. This Atlanta Falcons team, what the fuck is wrong with that?
Oh, let me see if I can find this this Stephen A. Smith quote on the on this team. Here we go. Ready for this one?
About an NFL team before. I mean, Atlanta
There we go. I'll even put it on the microphone for you. Ready for this?
Yeah.
This is a quote from Stephen A. Smith.
I'd like to sit up there and say something that I've never said about an NFL team before. I mean, Atlanta Falcons might be the dumbest team that I've witnessed in the modern era. I want to get this. Let me get this straight. Last time I checked, because, I mean, Keyshawn, you're here. You're the football aficionado. I do believe that you're allowed to fall on the ball prior to it going 10 yards, if I remember correctly. I mean, I do believe that. I already threw, I burned the Atlanta Falcons jersey that they sent us. I just threw mine in the garbage, okay? I was an Atlanta Falcon fan anyway, but if ever there was a time where I'd never root for them again, it would be now. Dan Quinn's got to go. I mean, listen, they ain't been the same since they blew the 25-point lead in the Super Bowl. You getting rid of assistant coaches, got rid of three last November.
I got to mute real quick.
January, there's always somebody's fault. But in the end, you have a situation. I know Julio Jones dropped a touchdown pass. I get all of that. I know they could have run the football effectively. I get that. But I'm going to repeat it. 29-10 at half, 20-0. Four Dallas turnovers. I'm talking three fumbles, four turnovers in the first quarter. 20-0 deficit. All right. 29-10 at halftime. 39-24 with 4 minutes and 57 seconds left. And then after that, you still, all you have to do is fall on the ball. And five different Atlanta Falcons. Five. You said six. You said six. I thought it was five. No, but six. If it's six, that makes it even worse. Six, damn it. Six different Atlanta Falcons would not fall on the ball. Just stupid. They got to be the dumbest team. And I'm just so disgusted with what transpired, but it is what it is. The Dallas Cowboys won. I got it. But Atlanta is trifling. Not the ATL. Just the Falcons. I'm talking about the Falcons organization. Dan Quinn got the thing that is
over. That's what it comes down to, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it from Stephen A. Smith. You heard it from the mouth of the GOAT. The Falcons, listen, I'm Hollywood J. Black. You know I'm always going to keep it 100 with y'all, 24-7, 365. Stephen A. Smith was 100% correct on there.
Stephen A. Smith said half of what I said.
They just how? They have got to be. And this even goes back to 98 when they were in the Super Bowl. When they let their team party, you know what I'm saying? How you gonna let your team party and then one dude gets into a shootout? Was it Eugene Robinson? Was it sexual assault or gun charges? Yep, some shit like that.
They're all pro linebacker.
Oh.
Hold on, they're all pro linebacker who didn't have Ray Lewis money.
Oh.
Ouch. Yeah, the Atlanta Falcons, I'm just gonna say this. You guys are fucking losers. I don't say that about things. You guys are fucking terrible. You guys are the Florida Marlins of the NFL. But you guys don't sell your talent like the Marlins do. You guys just shit on yourselves. That's what the fuck you are.
Hey, at least every time the Marlins have made the playoffs, they've won a championship. Which they just I'm booking the Marlins to win the World Series just because they made the playoffs this year.
They made the playoffs because there's 32 teams in the playoffs. Every team made the playoffs in baseball. Anyway, Mitchell Trubisky has not played the best, but he's played better than anyone expected. I think it's because Nick Foles is backing him up, and he's like, I don't want to lose my job to this man. He lost his job to a porn star.
He's like the title of Bray Wyatt's song, Living in Fear. That's exactly what he's doing. Mitch Trubisky is – you know what Mitch Trubisky is? He's a tale of two halves. Every game, tale of two halves.
Plays like trash that has 350 yards in the second half.
and last week, he played like a genius in the first half. Two touchdowns, no interceptions in the first half. Then no touchdowns and two interceptions in the second half, almost cost him the fucking game.
And his defense won in the game.
and you know what's a real trip is that when Matt Nagy doesn't call the plays, Mitch Trubisky is a fucking genius. When Matt Nagy says, "No, you gotta do this play, Mitch. You gotta do this play," he's just a fucking douche nozzle garbage dude. I can't call it. If you had to call, if I had to call it right now, call it right down the middle and say who's going to win this game. I don't know. Mitch got to lose one. I got to go with the Falcons. You can't be that talented and go 0-3. Like, you just can't. You can't be the most talented 0-3 team in the NFL. Because if you are, then we got a problem. We got a big-ass problem.
I'm picking the Bears also. Sorry, that was a work call. You know I'm on call, so I ain't got to go nowhere. So.
Okay. No, I picked the Falcons.
Oh, you picked the Falcons? Well, I'm picking the Bears. I think the Falcons are absolute trash, and they're fucking the NFL fucking special teams who's not going to get any fucking donations from anybody. That's what the fuck they are.
I just think you can't be that talented and go 0-3. If you do, then you might as well just trade everyone at that point. Just gut the entire fucking organization.
All right. And just Dan Quinn, here's what you're going to do. You got to take that big-ass wide receiver, number 11, and you're going to send him to Cam Newton in New England. And you're going to trade Julio Jones to the Patriots for a seventh-round draft pick in 2056. Okay?
2056, huh? Jesus fucking Christ.
All right, next up we have a team that is 0-2 with a quarterback, but they lost their all-pro running back for 4 to 6 weeks. Taking on a team whose doctor deflated a lung of their starting quarterback. We have the Carolina Panthers at the LA Chargers. A game that is going to be the lowest rated game of this season because Christian McCaffrey is not playing.
I was going to say, I was like, Carolina got to get a win, and then you fucking said that. Oh my fucking God.
Yeah, Christian McCaffrey hurt his leg last week. He's out 4-6.
Why, Lord, why?
The rookie quarterback for the Chargers picked apart somewhat mediocre defense in Kansas City last week. Almost led the Chargers to a win over Kansas City, which actually knocked Kansas City out of the number one spot in the NFL. I think the Chargers team is going to win this game. Are you okay?
No, because I'm having to pick Justin Herbert and the Los Angeles Sabotagers, because that's exactly what that was. Hold on, you just got a topical rib injury. Hold on, let me jam this fucking needle in your fucking lung, you son of a bitch.
Tyrod Taylor has to be the unluckiest guy in the NFL.
If it wasn't for bad luck, he'd have no luck at all. Let's just go there. Go ahead and I am picking. Fuck, I don't even know who the fuck I'm picking. Give me fuck. I no Christian McCaffrey. Fuck. Give me the Chargers, I guess. I don't really want to, but give me the fucking Chargers. God damn. Right.
Let's go ahead and burn through these next six because, there's only a couple of interesting ones to go. The next one is not very interesting. We have the New York Jets against the Indianapolis Colts. Phillip Rivers actually looks decent with the Colts. Looks like shit's starting to gel, but they still don't have a running game. The defense has been suspect, but it's the New York Jets.
Yeah, it's not at home, so there's no risk of anybody dying or getting their knees blown out.
The 49ers have to deal with that today.
Yeah, they have to deal with that. So, book the Colts on this one. Fairly simple. Phillip Rivers has looked halfway decent, and he's been protected, so that's what matters.
Yeah. All right, next up, we have probably one of the better games of the weekend. We have the team that we just laughed about what happened in the Atlanta game, getting their first win last week because of the Beyblade. Against a team who played the game of the century last week against the New England Patriots, the Cowboys at the Seahawks.
What you call them's on a roll. Seahawks are on a roll. They look great. And they know that the Niners are hurting, and I don't see them taking their foot off the gas anytime soon. All no, gas, no break.
Arizona is not taking their foot off the gas.
No, not at all. So I got to take the Seahawks on this one. As much as I think the Cowboys as a whole are a better team, and you'll never hear me say that, Russell Wilson is the best quarterback in the NFL, point blank period. It's not even close.
Next up, we have a team that found their offense last week, kind of, taking on a team with a backup quarterback because their future got hurt. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Denver Broncos. Tom Brady has struggled in Denver his whole career.
Yes, but this is a different story. Tom Brady has found his footing, and Bruce Arians is the quarterback guru. So we know he's going to call plays. I think it's going to be a lot more running than passing. The Broncos are not going to struggle without Drew Lock for the next few weeks.
Yep.
Point blank period. Because they struggled without Drew Lock last year, and they even had Joe Flacco, which is a better option than the one that they have now. So with that said, I'm taking the team that's not the Broncos. Sorry.
You're taking the Buccaneers. All right. Next up, we have, and we're speeding through this because it looks like he's got to go somewhere, and now I'm going to a football thing. So next up, we have the Detroit Lions at the Arizona Cardinals. The Arizona Cardinals look like one of the top teams in the NFL right now.
So we're going to call it the A-Town Stomp, not from Atlanta, but the Arizona Town Stomp. Because that's exactly what's going to happen to Detroit, unfortunately. I'm banking on your coach in Detroit getting fired. Please fire this man. And the only way that this man can get fired is with absolute victory by every other team in the NFL. So with that said, I'm picking the Arizona Cardinals to win this game.
I'm picking the Cardinals due to the fact that they have looked excellent in both of their games this season.
Yes.
Against the non-beating up 49ers.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray is that dude right now. He's a 5'7". That 35 pounds of muscle that he put on the offseason is helping him stupendously. He is a top five quarterback right now.
Yeah, easily. Right now, definitely, for sure. Yeah, book it all day. Book it all day. Arizona's got this one. There's no other redeeming qualities in Detroit that'll even maybe say it. Take Arizona.
Adrian Peterson might get some yardage, but that's about it.
That's it.
Next up, we have two. The next two games we speak on are probably two of the more viewed games this week. We have the Green Bay Packers at the New Orleans Saints, and we already talked about Drew Brees being at home. He plays a lot better there.
Yes, but there's still no Michael Thomas. That's kind of where the problem is at.
Aaron Rodgers is playing like his career is on line.
Because it is.
In Green Bay, because it is.
It is, ladies and gentlemen.
Quarterback in the first round.
Yes. And even if his career isn't on the line as a whole, it's on the line in Green Bay. And he's playing basically for the next team that he's going to go to. I don't think he's going to Green Bay. I mean, this is similar to the Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers situation from over a decade ago. It's the same shit. So
does that mean Aaron Rodgers is going to go play for the Jets and the Vikings?
No, this means that the Packers are probably going to end up going 13-3, and Aaron Rodgers is going to throw a pick six in the NFC Championship.
All right, I'm picking the Saints. I'm picking the Packers.
Yeah, I'm picking the Packers.
All right, next up we got the Chiefs or Ravens.
Chiefs and Ravens. So, game of the week right here. It's. I would say that it's simple, but it's a lot difficult. It's going to be a lot different than the Chiefs and Ravens game from last year. Lamar Jackson is looking like a way better passer than he did last year. The running game hasn't necessarily been a big, big thing. But as a whole, it's been – the Ravens have looked like a great team. The Chiefs struggled against the vaunted – LA Chargers team. I don't see them. I think this might be an upset, and I think the Ravens are actually going to win this game. That's why I'm booking it. I know it sounds weird, but I like the Ravens in this one. It's kind of like the similar situation in the NBA where a team.
Oh, shit. Hold on. I'm muted. Hold on. All right.
No, you're here.
I had you muted so I could hear my phone call. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm picking.
Are you picking the Packers in that last game?
Yeah, we're picking the Packers. We're now on Chiefs Ravens. I am picking the Ravens because the Chiefs look vulnerable now after that game against the Chargers.
Yeah, Calais Campbell being added to that Ravens defensive line is a big fucking deal. And it's showing.
Yeah.
Their defense was already stout to begin with. And now
Lamar Jackson
is throwing the football.
Yep. He's a much better passer. Much, much better passer than he was last year. You gotta give this one to – I'm giving this one to the Ravens. I think the Ravens are going to pull off this upset.
Yeah, I'm not even going to call it an upset. I'm calling it that the Ravens are going to show that they might be the best team in the NFL outside of the playoffs.
Yeah, very true. Very true.
So we both got the Ravens on that one. And that is our whole week three lineup, buddy.
That the Chiefs-Ravens is Monday night?
Yes, sir.
Ooh. All right. Well, definitely got to be
Packers, on that one. Packers-Saints Sunday night. Chiefs-Ravens Monday night.
Oh, that's action-packed, baby. Action-packed. All right. So, as usual, make sure you like, follow, and subscribe. Make sure you subscribe to the Overtime Sports Show podcast. Anywhere that you can get a podcast. Make sure you follow us on YouTube, Facebook, wherever you can type in Simple Black. That follow us anywhere. Follow us everywhere and anywhere, damn it. Or else we're going to come find you, and we're going to shave your cat with a mohawk. Oh, okay.
Oh, and you see right over my shoulder there, the Fiend is watching.
Oh, Lord.
You see him over there?
Yeah, I see you. Let me in.
But you got to let us into your homes. That's my name is Big Motherfucking Sin. That man over there in Hollywood, J to the Blizzak. We are Sinful Black Entertainment, and we are out this bitch.
Deuces. All right.
Here's